Haley, you did a terrific job. Thank you, and thank you, choir, for accompanying her. I hope you know that Sue Stanger, who spoke before this, is one of our two stewardship elders. And really, she had this wonderful plan for stewardship. And it was the smells of bread, the love of bread, as we see what Jesus says is the bread of life. And so we've been looking at how Jesus has fed the people. But our stewardship campaign is continuing. Next week, we're going to celebrate it with only one service. What time is that service? I hate the shifting because it always changes with people, so keep it in your mind. One service, 10 o'clock next week, and we will celebrate with all this homemade bread afterwards and think about the smells and scents that'll be. But it's all to remind us that this is the season to turn in these little cards that are found in your pews that allow our session to determine what its budget will be for the next year. Now, that said, there's so many things that get thrown at a preacher on Sunday morning. Today was one of those days. I neglected to talk about two things. First of all, Fred and Sandy McIntosh being back with us. Sandy is our former office administrator, now lives in North Carolina, and they have just whirlwinded across the country with none of us knowing because they have to bring a car to their granddaughter. So we are so blessed to get to see you, and I wanted to acknowledge that. It's wonderful. Secondly, if you were here yesterday during the yard sale, there must have been probably 20 people that are associated with our church life that were here as hosts. And the conversations were wonderful. I just sat around and talked with people about various things. And that was really fun. But all of you doing that, I just want to say thank you. And I see a number of you here. I'm not going to have you stand, but I just wanted to say thank you. Church is a family. And in addition to that, what I neglected to say earlier is we have a new sidewalk that our buildings and grounds have been working with the Boy Scout Troop 226 on another Eagle project. So they were supervising the boys who have now made a beautiful sidewalk that connects around the back of the church, the new cross that was one of the Eagle projects, and down to the original stairs of the former church. So you can go out and check that out. But Don and Ken do incredible work to make all that happen, and it's a wonderful family of faith. That said, we are talking about bread and food and fish this whole month. As we went into Timothy, we saw the need for God in our lives. As we went to Matthew last week, we found the story of the fish and the loaves. Now, it's interesting. This story is found in all four Gospels. It's a little different in each one. You know, in Matthew, there's 7 loaves and a few fish. In Mark, there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish are equally in Luke, but John takes a different tact. He says there were 5 small barley loaves. That was the cheapest grain, and 2 small fish. Now, in the 3 synoptic gospels, there are a lot of similarities, but in the 4th gospel, John adds some texture. And so, in addition to what we read about them collecting the 12 baskets, which is the final statement that all 4 mention, scholars have said that probably means that they were talking about the new 12 tribes of Israel. Or maybe they were talking about the 12 disciples that would be spreading the word of God. But John goes on and adds something else. He says, when the people saw the sign that they had done, they began to say that this is indeed a prophet who has come into the world. And when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force, he withdrew to the mountain again. And then he says that evening came and his disciples got tired of waiting, so they got in their boats and took off. The crowd was waiting there with them. They didn't see Jesus. So they assumed that Jesus was still around. So they sat there waiting, looking for him. But he didn't come. And then what happened is the disciples get out in the boat, and you might remember the story. A storm came up, and Jesus came walking on water with them, and then he sailed back to the other side of the Lake of Galilee with them. So the text for today picks up at that very point. Hear the word of the Lord found in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 24. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "Well, what must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God bless the reading of his word. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we look at the second part of this story today, Lord, open our eyes to what this strange dialogue might have been and what it means for us. To that end, take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and thoughts together. For Lord, you are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. So what's your favorite snack food? Yeah. Teague, what's your favorite? Candy. Well, candy's not actually a snack food. That's a dessert. Okay. Let's keep the categories straight. Alan Hirsch is a neurological director of a smell and taste treatment and research foundation in Chicago. He has 800 volunteers that took a personality test. And they asked them to name their favorite snack foods. The result, reported in the Journal of Alternative Medicine in May of 2007, was astounding. The people who share a personality type took the same snack 95% of the time. I don't know if I fully believe this, but these were their findings. If your favorite snack is tortilla chips, you're a perfectionist. You're successful and ambitious, and you like to plan ahead. You have a strong sense of social responsibility and abhor injustice. How many of you like tortilla chips? If you're a pretzel fan, you're the life of the party. You love novelty and can quickly become bored with routine. You tend to start a new project before completing existing ones. How many of you are pretzels? How about cheese puffs? You have a high sense of morals and ethics, and you insist on treating everyone fairly. You might seem uptight, but you're highly organized and methodical. I like cheese puffs. popcorn. This is my wife. You're the take charge kind of person. You're modest and low-key in demeanor, but you're confident and reserved. You would make a large charitable donation without telling anyone a cent. How many of you are popcorns? All right. Nuts. You're even-tempered, easy to get along with, highly empathetic. Your easygoing, cooperative nature contributes to success at home and at work. Well, how many nuts are there here? How about the all-time favorite potato chips? You're achievement-oriented, successful, and competitive. You're a natural leader, but can easily be irritated with inconveniences such as long lines or traffic jams. How many potato chippers are there? Crackers. You're contemplative, thoughtful, and often a loner. You prefer private time and shy away from confrontation and arguments. You can't stand to hurt another person's feelings. Well, how many of you are crackers? Okay. And finally, meat snacks such as beef jerky. You're gregarious and generous, and you tend to be loyal to a fault. How many of you are meat lovers? Okay. Steve Downey's the only one I saw. Okay. Oh, a couple more. Okay. You see, what this test says or suggests is that we are what we like. Maybe Jesus was saying a similar thing when we talked last week about what do we do to feed others. This week, maybe we suggest that too often we ourselves are hungry for what isn't good for us. You know, snack foods, no matter how much they might reflect our personalities or not, are not very nutritious. And that's the problem that the disciples faced when they had been fed. They waited around. They waited around so that Jesus would feed them again. Because their basic desire was to be satisfied and content with life. You know, there was a popular way that the Caesars and other magistrates of that time controlled the people. They would tax the people mercilessly. But then the Caesars would provide free banquets and bring out free food for people. And it became a way of buying offices. The better your food, the more the people followed you. They also provided the horrible games in the Colosseum. They entertained the people. You see, people are constantly wanting those two things. Feed me. Feed me. And entertain me. And Jesus faces that same response from his people. He has just spent the day healing and maybe teaching, depending on which gospel you read. But as he's doing that, he's trying to convey a truth. And the truth is, for him, that the food that we love and consume, which satisfies and sustains our bodies, is not simply to sustain us, but so that we will use the resources that we are given to help the world. That's what Haley was singing about. Let it begin with me. Let me be a one that puts on your name, Lord Jesus, so that the world can see in a light that says, I represent what God intends for this world, not simply to feed the body, but to care about a better world. to heal, to make myself available even when I'm tired to my next door neighbor. To love and think about what God has done to me, because it's more about coming to the bread of life is more about life than just being a better person. It's a complete change of outlook. It's not about me being better. It's about me being better so that my perspective on life is richer. You know, there was a movie, and I can't even remember the title of it, but it started out, it was in the 80s, and it was a movie that started out in black and white, and then it went to color. Huh? Pleasantville. And I'll never forget how dramatic it was when things became real in life. The vivid colors of Technicolor. You know, it's like coming to Jesus is like awakening from a black and white world into a world that says, I am much more complex than I ever realized. And my world is much more complex and needs me much more than I realized. Because Jesus says you are now to feed others. Not to focus on just being fed. But the problem is, this work of God is about a belief in Jesus, certainly. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread of God. He's the living bread, as the text says. He's the body of Christ. And that's good eating. The problem is Jesus can be difficult to swallow. I mean, some of his sayings, love your enemies. Oh, wait a minute. That's going too far. Love my enemies? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. What? Pray for those who abuse you? No way. You see, it sticks in our throats what Jesus really tells us. He says that being in a Technicolor world, understanding who you really are, you're not going to just crave another meal. You're going to crave to be all that God called and intended you to be. It's so much easier if Jesus had only said, love your friends. Do good to those who like you. Bless those who compliment you. Pray for those who help you. Wouldn't it be easier if that were true? That's sometimes the politics of the world right now. We get filtered into camps. And we begin to say, well, we'll take care of our own. But Jesus says, love those who hate you. And then Jesus goes on. Even though we kind of want to stick to our comfort foods, we want to have our snacks. He says, I want you to eat real food, food that sustains you. Food that will take you where you need to be. You see, stewardship is based on a true principle. God is the bread of life, real life, life as God intended it. And that's what it means. That's what it meant to Eric and Marina when they brought Luke to the waters of baptism. They said, sometime we want him to experience what we've experienced of Jesus. We want him to be grounded in the stories so that they so permeate his life that he someday will grow and want that for himself. Well, as we contemplate bread, bread is a staple of life. It's what is first given for nourishment in any disaster. It's one of the few things that give us carbohydrates quickly so that we can have energy. It isn't enough alone. You have to have meat, You have to have fruit. You have to have vegetables. But it starts with bread. Get them going. And then, as Jesus says in this passage, you just want me for my miracles. But I want you for so much more. I want you to recognize that God created you with a design and a purpose. You know what? I'm kind of grateful that I was raised in church. I've had the experience of leaving church, but I only left it to go to a different church. And then leaving that church because I didn't agree with the theology, and swinging back from Pentecostalism to understanding orthodoxy. But my mom kept me going to church. And then I did it on my own. And so my worldview has been surrounded by people who see beyond black and white, us and them. They've always seen life in color. Color is messy. Sometimes you can't even determine one shade of pink from another. Nor do you know its name. But it is alive and vibrant. And it calls us to be a part of it, doesn't it? Let us pray. Lord God, you are the bread of life. We pray that you will watch over us. Some of the snack foods we eat are not so healthy for us, even though they might reflect our personalities. But Lord, help us to continue your church to be a beacon of hope for all who enter, to be a place that we can reach out and build homes and a more, gather to sell our goods and to contribute them to the good of all, a place that we call home. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.